content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Patricia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next hour I will be reading to you from Time Magazine. Today's program is underwritten by G. Suggs Insurance. Please contact G. Suggs Insurance, your local independent agency, for trusted advice on home, auto, business, and life insurance. For more information, please visit gsuggsinsurance.com. That is gsuggsinsurance.com. Or call 919-875-8889. Today's edition of Time Magazine is dated December 30, 2024. As usual, the front cover is bordered in red with a narrow white inner border. Time is in large capital block lettering in a blue-gray design because it is superimposed upon a gradient of light blue and light gray. Person of the Year is the heading, and the caption reads Donald Trump. It is a portrait of Mr. Trump in a dark blue suit, white shirt, and bright red tie, and he's looking not quite, slightly askance at the camera with a very neutral facial expression. This edition's format is different from most, and it begins with 2024, the year in, with various topics to follow. The first that I'm reading is 2024, the year in animals, wild times. From pygmy hippo Mo Dang to Pesto the penguin, cute creatures did more than just take over the internet in 2024, by Chad de Guzman. Mo Dang, that's two words, M-O-O space, D-E-N-G. It is a name millions around the world have come to know. She is the most obsessed over, least controversial celebrity. Her dewy skin, enviable lifestyle of frolicking and feasting, and eminently memeable face have also made her an icon of the internet. She's also a hippopotamus. Cute creatures going viral is nothing new. 7 years ago, the Cincinnati Zoo wanted Time to name Fiona the hippo person or animal of the year, but 2024 seems to be on a different level. The plump pygmy hippo from Thailand, who was born in July and whose name translates to bouncy pork, rose to fame perhaps when she was needed most. Observing animals, whether online or in person, can be therapeutic in many ways. University of Washington psychology professor emeritus David Barash tells Time. Beasts can provide a comforting distraction when people are depressed by the state of the world, and distract Mo Dang did. What started as simply a new subject of photos and videos posted on Kao, Kyo, Open Zoos, social media platforms, quickly snowballed into the world's latest It Girl. Social media users obsessed over every new documentation of her teething and tumbling, and the zoo's followers skyrocketed. Mo Dang inspired fan art, merchandise, even makeup trends. Foot traffic to the zoo hit record highs, and a 24/7 live stream was set up for round-the-clock viewing. In September, she was parodied on Saturday Night Live. In November, GMM, one of Thailand's largest music companies, produced a multilingual theme song for her. Tony Sampson, a digital media researcher at the University of Essex, defines digital virality as affective contagion. In other words, posts that make you feel something tend to spread better than purely informational posts. negative emotions like anger and frustration spread well, too, he says, noting a surge in downbeat posts related to politics and conflicts. But maybe people need to escape that sometimes. It is no wonder, then, that Mudang was not alone this year in attracting the world's attention. A cohort of adorable animals have joined her in the online spotlight. From Pesto the penguin to Nibi the beaver to fellow pygmy hippo Haggis. The list goes on, but one thing these social media sensations appear to have in common is people like to ascribe human-like traits to them. The most popular Mudang posts often center around likening her to a toddler as she finds her footing or calls for her mom. One post even suggested she carried a leaf around on her snout for emotional support. Anthropomorphism can sometimes misread what animals are actually going through, Barash warns. But the fact that much of Mudang's appeal seems to stem from her perceived relatability is not necessarily a bad thing, he adds. And it isn't always off base. Fortunately, animal behaviorists are increasingly comfortable recognizing the obvious that many animals share a wide range of mental states with human beings, Barash says. Maybe we could all do with our own emotional support leaf, or maybe Mudang is already just that. There is a photo here of Mudang makes a splash because she's in a bathtub. I don't know how large this creature is, but it's brown and wet and splashing water over its head. Somehow, its mouth is wide open. I don't see any teeth or tusks, and it has bright eyes. Turning the page now to 2024, the year in AI, going all in. Tech companies raced ahead with AI, driving markets and stirring regulators, by Andrew R. Chow. There is a photo here, too. It's the same size as Mudang's. Wasn't that the pygmy hippo's name? Yes. This is robots, it looks like. Three human-like robots, plus one smaller machine-like robot. Humanoid robots at NVIDIA's AI conference in March. Well, as I said, one of them doesn't look humanoid. It looks more like a lawnmower on feet. But anyway, in 2024, both cutting-edge technology and the companies controlling it grew increasingly powerful, provoking euphoric wonderment and existential dread. Companies like NVIDIA and Alphabet soared in value, fueled by expectations that artificial intelligence, AI, will become a cornerstone of modern life. While those grand visions are still far into the future, tech undeniably shaped markets, warfare, elections, climate, and daily life this year. Perhaps technology's biggest impact this year was on the global economy. The so-called Magnificent Seven, the stocks of Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Tesla, thrived in large part because of the AI boom, propelling the S&P 500 to new highs. NVIDIA, which designs the computer chips powering many AI systems, led the way, with its stock nearly tripling in price. These profits spurred an arms race in AI infrastructure, with companies constructing enormous factories and data centers, which in turn drew criticism from environmentalists about their energy consumption. Some market watchers also expressed concern about the increasing dependence of the global economy on a handful of companies, and the potential impacts if they prove unable to fulfill their massive promises. But as of early December, the value of these companies showed no sign of letting up. Though not with the explosive novelty of ChatGPT's 2023 breakthrough, generative AI systems advanced over the past 12 months. Google's DeepMind achieved silver medal results at a prestigious math competition. Google's Notebook LM impressed users with its ability to turn written notes into succinct podcasts. ChatGPT passed a Stanford-administered Turing test. Apple integrated new artificial intelligence tools into its newest iPhone. Beyond personal devices, AI played a pivotal role in forecasting hurricanes and powering growing fleets of driverless cars across China and San Francisco. A more dangerous side of AI, however, also came into view. AI tools created by companies like Palantir and Clearview proved central to the wars in Ukraine and Gaza in their ability to identify foreign troops and targets to bomb. AI was integrated into drones, surveillance systems, and cybersecurity. Generative AI also infiltrated 2024's many elections. South Asian candidates flooded social media with AI-generated content. Russian state actors used deep-faked text, images, audio and video to spread disinformation in the U.S. and amplify fears around immigration. After President-elect Donald Trump reposted an AI-generated image of Taylor Swift endorsing him on the campaign trail, the pop star responded with an Instagram post about her fears around AI and an endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris instead. Swift's fears were shared by many of her young fans, who are coming of age in a generation that seems to be bearing the brunt of technology's harms. This year, hand-wringing about the impact of social media on mental health came to a head, with Jonathan Haidt's, that's H-A-I-D-T, bestseller, The Anxious Generation, which drew a direct link between smartphones and a rise in teen depression. Some scientists have disputed this correlation. Social media platforms scrambled to address the issue with their own fixes. Instagram, for instance, set new guardrails for teen users. But many parents, lawmakers, and regulators argued these platforms were not doing enough on their own to protect children and took action. New Mexico's attorney general sued Snap Inc., accusing Snapchat of facilitating child sexual exploitation through its algorithm. Dozens of states moved forward with a lawsuit against Meta, accusing it of inducing young children and teenagers into addictive social media use. In July, the U.S. Senate passed the Kids Online Safety Act, KOSA, which puts the onus on social media companies to prevent harm. Most tech companies are fighting the bill, which has yet to pass the House. The potential harms around generative AI and children are mostly still unknown. But in February, a teenager died by suicide after becoming obsessed with a chatbot modeled after Game of Thrones character Daenerys Targaryen. The company called the situation tragic and told the New York Times it was adding safety features. Regulators were also wary of the centralization that comes with tech, arguing its concentration can lead to health crises, rampant misinformation, vulnerable points of global failure. They point to the CrowdStrike outage, which grounded airplanes and shut down banks across the world, and the Ticketmaster breach, in which the data of over 500 million users was compromised. President Joe Biden signed a bill requiring its Chinese owner to sell TikTok or be banned in the U.S. French authorities arrested Telegram CEO Pavel Durov, accusing him of refusing to cooperate in their efforts to stop the spread of child porn, drugs, and money laundering on the platform. Antitrust actions also increased worldwide. In the U.S., Biden officials embarked on several aggressive lawsuits to break up Google's and Apple's empires. A U.K. watchdog accused Google of wielding anti-competitive practices to dominate the online ad market. India also proposed an antitrust law, drawing fierce rebukes from tech lobbyists. But the tech industry may face less pressure next year, thanks in part to the effort of the world's richest man, Elon Musk, whose net worth ballooned by more than $100 billion over the past year. Musk weathered many battles on many frontiers. Tesla failed to deliver its long-awaited self-driving cars, agitating investors. X was briefly banned in Brazil after a judge accused the platform of allowing disinformation to flourish. In the U.S., watchdogs accused Musk of facilitating hate speech and disinformation on X, and of blatantly using a major public platform to put his finger on the scale for his preferred candidate, Donald Trump. Musk's companies face at least 20 investigations from all corners of government. But Musk scored victories by launching and catching a SpaceX rocket and implanting the first Neuralink chip into a paralyzed patient's brain. And in the November election, his alliance with Trump paid off. Musk is now a prominent figure in Trump's transition team and tipped to head up a new government agency that aims to slash government spending by $2 trillion. And while the owner of Tesla must navigate Trump's stated opposition to EVs, he is positioned to use his new perch to influence the future of AI. While Musk warns the public about AI's existential risk, he is also racing to build a more powerful chatbot than ChatGPT, which was built by his rival Sam Altman. Altman's OpenAI endured many criticisms over safety this year, but nevertheless raised a massive $6.6 billion in October. Is the growing power of tech titans like Musk and Altman good for the world? In 2024, they spent much of their time furiously building, while criticizing regulators for standing in their way. Their creations, as well as those of other tech gurus, provided plenty of evidence both of the good that can arise from their projects and the overwhelming risks and harms. Turning the page again, the year in climate 2024, an uphill battle. It was a complicated year for climate action, with glimmers of hope amid halting progress by Justin Warland. There's another photo here, not real large, maybe a fourth of a page. It's all colored in red, oranges, gray. The back of the person standing in the photo is orange. The hose he or she is holding is orange. The grass around him is brown and orange. The caption reads, "Facing off against a California wildfire in June." In early November, it was virtually certain 2024 would be the hottest year on record. The evidence was being felt around the world, from flooding that killed hundreds in Spain to drought in 48 of America's 50 states. Insurance giants dropped coverage in danger zones and warned about the growing challenge posed by climate change. Amid all that, a casual observer might have expected negotiators gathered at a UN climate talks in Baku, Azerbaijan, to double down on the most critical efforts to cut global emissions and prevent the problem from getting worse. Instead, the talks, known this year as COP29, devolved into a chaotic conflict across decades-old battle lines. The deal that emerged, an agreement for developed countries to lead in providing $300 billion annually in climate finance to Global South nations, was enough to keep hope alive, but far from sufficient to tackle the scale of the problem. Chandni Raina, a negotiator for At-Risk India, summed up the prevailing sentiment after the finance agreement was gaveled in. "We are extremely hurt." The talks were a fitting end to a complicated year of climate action. As the problem grows worse, leaders constrained by political considerations keep eking out piecemeal solutions. The solutions could be worse, but they could also be a lot better. In 2024, few politicians are denying the urgent science of climate change. Yet most are struggling to act on the scale necessary to help the world avoid the worst effects of warming. But that does not mean all is lost. This year brought some glimmers of progress. The economics of clean energy have improved. Policies enacted years ago are paying dividends, and innovators, technological, financial, and policy, continue to forge ahead. In time, those developments will make a more sustainable future inevitable. The question is what the path looks like to get there. Any assessment of the year in climate requires a clear-eyed look at the science. In November, the World Meteorological Organization warned not only that 2024 is on track to be the hottest on record, but also that global temperature rise may bob above the 1.5 centigrade threshold laid out in the Paris Agreement. To avoid that, a UN Environment Program report said countries would need to cut emissions 42% by 2030 and 57% by 2035. It noted hitting these numbers remains technically possible, but it would require muscular government programs to promote clean energy, stop carbon releasing deforestation, and push high-polluting industries to decarbonize. The current political context is not exactly friendly to such sweeping government programs. In the EU, a long-standing climate leader, populist backlash this year gave right-wing anti-climatic policymakers a record presence in the European Parliament. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, head of the EU's executive branch, remains in office, but her new cabinet will be playing defense. Top officials say they will focus on streamlining existing climate policies to make the bloc more competitive rather than issuing new ones. "There's a clear conviction we will continue to lead on this," Wopke Hoekstra, the bloc's top climate official, told me in April. "But the EU needs to bridge that better, marry that better with competitiveness for our companies and a just transition for our people." Nowhere, however, is the reality of challenging politics more stark than in the U.S., where Donald Trump won a non-consecutive second term as president. He will enter the White House promising to end what he has called the Green New Scam, as he describes the Biden administration's clean energy tax breaks and subsidies. Trump may not be able to repeal in its entirety the Inflation Reduction Act, President Joe Biden's landmark climate law, given the jobs the law has created in conservative places where voters support Trump. But his return, nonetheless, casts a pall on global climate efforts. Investors dumped green stocks in response to Trump's ascent. Leaders in the global south have already felt less diplomatic pressure to decarbonize. Some companies have doubled down on their strategy of keeping quiet on climate efforts. It is clear the next administration will try to take a U-turn and erase much of this progress, John Podesta, Biden's climate envoy, said on the first day of COP29. I am keenly aware of the disappointment the United States has at times caused. Combine the stark science with the stark political realities, and you get a pretty grim picture. The uphill climate battle got a lot more difficult this year. Still, a careful observer can identify meaningful green shoots. No matter the political complications, countries continued to deploy clean energy at a rapid clip this year. Driven by economics, renewables are often cheaper than fossil fuels. And energy security concerns, producing clean electricity at home means less reliance on polluting imports. Globally, investment in green technologies has reached nearly $2 trillion annually, twice the level of investment in new fossil fuel supply, according to the International Energy Agency. Many climate advocates have celebrated the resurgence of nuclear power. Long considered taboo and too expensive, investing in nuclear offers a zero-carbon solution to companies building energy-intensive AI data centers. And there are the nascent initiatives launched in 2024 that will pay dividends in the months and years to come. Financial innovators have pursued new ways of investing in climate projects. That includes efforts on the global stage to use government money to de-risk private sector climate investments in the global south. Thus far, these efforts have been relatively small, but their impact will grow as the programs scale. Policy innovators, too, are thinking through ways to continue progress in the new political atmosphere. Linking emissions reduction with trade, for example, offers a potential opportunity, even under Trump. In climate conversations, it has become almost cliché to say the energy transition is inevitable, and yet that is the truth. Will it happen fast enough? Right now, things don't look good, but that does not mean we should give up. Every bit of warming we can avoid matters. In November, I spoke with the World Bank president, Ajay Banga, about his agenda to remake the bank with climate in mind. More than any policy guidance, what struck me was his approach to making change by carefully tweaking the organization's structures. It is a lesson worth remembering as we head into 2025. In time, small changes add up to something much bigger. Forecasts are not destiny, he says. You can change destiny, but you have to work at it. 2024, the year in health. Mental health levels up. 2024's progress hints at things to come by Alice Park. Progress in addressing mental health is notoriously slow and mostly incremental. Breakthrough treatments tend to be rare and trained professionals too few to meet the demand for services, which is increasing. But 2024 was a pivotal year, thanks to the culmination of decades of research, and post-pandemic attention to mental health issues. In March, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, approved Rejoin, that's R-E-J-O-Y-N, the first digital therapeutic to treat major depressive disorder. The app opens the door to a new class of therapies that could dramatically increase access to treatment. 6 months later, the FDA approved the first new drug for schizophrenia in 30 years, Cobenfy, C-O-B-E-N-F-Y. It targets a different brain chemical system than previous treatments. And psychedelics notched a first when the FDA reviewed a request to approve MDMA for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder. Though this bid ultimately failed, the agency wanted to see more research. The FDA remains open to this group of drugs as a promising new way to treat mental health conditions. These advances come at a time when the need for mental health services has never been more urgent. About a fifth of teens in the U.S. report symptoms of anxiety or depression, according to the most recently analyzed federal survey data from 2021 to 22, but 20% say they cannot afford therapy to address their symptoms. The National Lifeline for Mental Health Crises, 988, fielded around 5.3 million calls, texts, or chats this year. And the U.S. Surgeon General raised the alarm about two major mental health issues. First, calling for warning labels about the dangers of social media for young people, and then highlighting the extraordinary stress and anxiety parents experience in raising families today. Clearly, more help is needed. The problem is that there are so few trained personnel, says Dr. Ashish Jha, dean of the School of Public Health at Brown University and former White House COVID-19 response coordinator. But innovations like those introduced this year can help to ease the load on mental health professionals. The schizophrenia drug Cobenfy solves a number of problems that plague current treatments, which are not very effective and come with such severe side effects that up to half of patients stop taking them. It targets a circuit in the brain that patients seem to tolerate better and has been shown to reduce symptoms like hallucinations, paranoia, and delusions. That could help more people get the treatment they need. Rejoin, which was approved as a supplement to existing treatments, lets people take their mental health into their own hands through a smartphone app. It prompts users to remember emotions depicted on people's faces, which requires them to use both the emotional and cognitive processing centers of their brain. In studies, people who used Rejoin for 6 weeks showed more balanced activity in these brain centers and had fewer depression symptoms. That rewiring may make people more responsive to traditional treatments like cognitive behavior therapy or antidepressants. These advances may have reached patients in 2024, but they did not develop in a year or even a few. Each took decades of basic scientific research, trial and error, and careful testing in people. That is true not just of mental health innovations, but with advances in all areas of medicine. 2024 also saw the first genetically edited pig-to-human kidney transplant, the first patients receiving CRISPR-edited gene therapy for sickle cell disease, the rise of the most powerful medications yet to treat obesity, and unprecedented remissions for the most challenging cancers. I've been following life sciences for decades, and I've never seen acceleration at this level and spread across so many different areas, says Dr. Eric Topol, founder and director of the Scripps Research Translational Institute. As the incoming Trump administration threatens to reduce federal research budgets while shrinking health agencies in the name of efficiency, health experts fear such momentum could slow, ultimately narrowing, the treatment pipeline for a number of diseases. The impact might not be felt immediately, but could result in fewer innovations in coming years. The National Institutes of Health, NIH, is an agency that invests in long-term scientific progress, says Jha. What I worry about is that if we are going to make a bunch of cuts to NIH, we might not see any negative health effects this year, but it will hurt the next generation more than it will hurt people today. Today's miracles come from fundamental investments that happened a decade or two decades ago. Philanthropists and private sector could step in to help fill the funding gap, but that may mean the investments will not be as broad and diverse as government-driven funding, and might prioritize specific conditions, widening the already significant gaps in access to essential health services, such as those for mental health. Even more disturbing than the immediate risk of potential cuts to research budgets is a deeper mistrust in science and scientists that is part of a larger culture of hostility to expertise, says Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, Vice Provost for Global Initiatives at the University of Pennsylvania, who has served in both the Office of Management and Budget and the NIH. Someone being an expert in an area used to get them a lot of authority, reverence, and respect. Now it's more likely to get them real hostility, name-calling, and denigrating attacks. It is very distressing because this is occurring simultaneously as we revel in all the fruits that science is producing. Restoring trust in science is necessary to keep up the medical progress that improves lives this and every year. Such advances are critical in mental health as rates of illness and demand for treatment continues to rise. Innovative developments, including novel treatments and new ways of thinking about how to incorporate digital technologies, are important first steps to increasing access and addressing unmet needs. Those investments must continue, since in the U.S., even though we have a lot of health problems, things are starting to get better, Jha says. And the reason things are getting better is because of long-term investments into the NIH and the work of public health and biomedical scientists. Turning the page now to the front cover story, Times Person of the Year 2024, the president-elect pictured at Mar-a-Lago, November 25, Donald Trump. This nearly replicates the cover photo, which I described, except here Mr. Trump is leaning on one arm with his elbow and forearm placed on a surface, and he's frowning at the camera. This is by Sam Jacobs. Let's see if there are other reporters involved as well. This is a long article. It may be abridged for time constraints. Yes, there's additional reporting by Leslie Dickstein and Simone Shaw, New York, and Philip Elliott, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and the lead writer is Sam Jacobs. 3 days before Thanksgiving, the former and future President of the United States is sitting in the sun-filled dining room of his Florida home and private club. In the lavish reception area, more than a dozen people have been waiting for nearly 2 hours for Donald Trump to emerge. His picks for National Security Advisor, Special Envoy to the Middle East, Vice President, and Chief of Staff huddle nearby. All afternoon, Trump pipes music throughout the 1927 Oceanfront Estate from a 2,000-song playlist he curates. Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You, ABBA's The Winner Takes It All, James Brown's It's a Man's, Man's, Man's World. For 97 years, the editors of Time have been picking the person of the year, the individual who, for better or for worse, did the most to shape the world and the headlines over the past 12 months. In many years, that choice is a difficult one. In 2024, it was not. Since he began running for president in 2015, perhaps no single individual has played a larger role in changing the course of politics and history than Trump. He shocked many by winning the White House in 2016, then led the U.S. through a chaotic term that included the first year of a pandemic, as well as a period of nationwide protest, and ended with his losing the election by 7 million votes and provoking the violent attack on the U.S. Capitol January 6, 2021. The smart money wagered we'd witness the end of Trump. If that moment marked Trump's nadir, today we're witnessing his apotheosis. On the cusp of his second presidency, all of us, from his most fanatical supporters to his most fervent critics, are living in the age of Trump. He dispatched his Republican rivals in near record time. For weeks, he campaigned largely from the New York courtroom, where he would be convicted on 34 felony counts. His sole debate with President Joe Biden in June led to his opponent's eventual exit from the race. 16 days later, he survived an assassination attempt at a campaign rally. In the sprint that followed, he outlasted Vice President Kamala Harris, sweeping all 7 swing states and emerging from the election at the height of his popularity. "Look what happened," Trump told his supporters in his election night victory speech. "Isn't this crazy?" He almost couldn't believe it himself. Trump has remade American politics in the process. He won by enlarging his base, seizing the frustration over rising prices, and benefiting from a global turn against incumbents. With those tailwinds, exit polls suggest he won the largest percentage of black Americans for a Republican since Gerald Ford, and the most Latino voters of any GOP nominee since George W. Bush. Suburban women whose anger over restrictions to reproductive rights was thought to be a bulwark for the Democrats moved not away but toward him. He became the first Republican in 20 years to win more votes than the Democrat, with 9 of 10 American counties increasing their support for Trump from 2020. Now we watch as members of Congress, international institutions, and global leaders once again align themselves with his whims. The carousel of Trump world characters spins anew. This time, we think we know what to expect. Supporters cheer, even his promises to take revenge on his enemies and dismantle the government. In a matter of weeks, Trump will be returning to the Oval Office with his intentions clear. Tariff imports. Deport millions. Threaten the press. Put RFK Jr. in charge of vaccines. Chance war with Iran. Anything can happen, he told us. Sitting with Time 3 weeks after the election, Trump was more subdued than when we visited him at Mar-a-Lago in March. He is happiest to be in a fight, and now that he's won, he sounded almost wistful, recognizing that he'd run for office for the final time. It is sad in a way. It will never happen again, Trump told us. And while he's thinking about how that chapter has ended for Americans and for the world, it's also the beginning of a new one. Trump is once again at the center of the world and in as strong a position as he's ever been. Over time, we have seen the Person of the Year franchise shift from Man of the Year to its current designation, from the period between the world wars, defined by leaders like Mohandas Gandhi and Wallace Simpson, to the first quarter of the 21st century, an era marked by the tremendous changes ushered in by a technological revolution. Although the American presidency has evolved across these eras, its influence has not diminished. Today we're witnessing a resurgence of populism, a widening mistrust in the institutions that defined the last century, and an eroding faith that liberal values will lead to better lives for most people. Trump is both agent and beneficiary of it all. For marshaling a comeback of historic proportions, for driving a once-in-a-generation political realignment, for reshaping the American presidency and altering America's role in the world, Donald Trump is Time's 2024 Person of the Year. Framed magazines with him on the cover hung by the front door. Pardon me, please. Eric Cortalesa reports from Palm Beach, Florida, and writes the next segment. Framed magazines with him on the cover hung by the front door. On a table near the fireplace sat a cast bronze eagle, awarded him by singer Lee Greenwood. In the men's lavatory, a picture of him with Arnold Palmer hung near the urinals. Adorning a wall in the library bar, a painting titled The Visionary depicted Trump in a tennis sweater, trim and youthful. The empty rooms felt less like a millionaire members' club than a museum. By mid-afternoon, the president-elect's imminent arrival had stirred signs of life. Discreetly placed speakers offered up selections from Trump's personally curated 2,000-song playlist. A handful of transition honchos and soon-to-be administration officials arrived, perching on overstuffed sofas and huddling in corners. Incoming Chief of Staff Susie Wiles conferred with Trump's designated National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz. Vice President-elect J.D. Vance strode in with a retinue of staffers. An aide posted up near a window overlooking the patio, setting down Trump's personal cell phone, which lit up occasionally with calls and texts from favored media personalities and cabinet picks. You could sense Trump before you could see him, the small group of senior aides rising to their feet in anticipation. The world's most powerful man entered with an air of unhurried bonhomie. Dressed in his trademark navy suit and red tie, Trump, 78, appeared a little older than he had some 7 months earlier when he last met with Time. More subdued, less verbose, the same discursive speech patterns, but with the volume turned down. Sitting under bright lights for a 30-minute photo session, ahead of a 65-minute interview, he is asked to explain the bruising on his right hand. "It's from shaking hands with thousands of people," he says. Trump's political rebirth is unparalleled in American history. His first term ended in disgrace, with his attempts to overturn the 2020 election results culminating in the attack on the U.S. Capitol. He was shunned by most party officials when he announced his candidacy in late 2022 amid multiple criminal investigations. Little more than a year later, Trump cleared the Republican field, clinching one of the fastest contested presidential primaries in history. He spent 6 weeks during the general election in a New York City courtroom, the first former president to be convicted of a crime, a fact that did little to dampen his support. An assassin's bullet missed his skull by less than an inch at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, in July. Over the next 4 months, he beat not one but two Democratic opponents, swept all seven swing states, and became the first Republican to win the popular vote in 20 years. He has realigned American politics, remaking the GOP, and leaving Democrats reckoning with what went awry. Trump has a ready explanation for his improbable resurrection. He even has a name for its climatic final act. "I called it 72 Days of Fury," he says, as the interview gets underway. "We hit the nerve of the country. The country was angry. It wasn't just the MAGA faithful. Trump harnessed deep national discontent about the economy, immigration, and cultural issues. His grievances resonated with suburban moms and retirees, Latino and black men, young voters, and tech edgelords. While Democrats estimated that most of the country wanted a president who would uphold the norms of liberal democracy, Trump saw a nation ready to smash them, tapping into a growing sense the system was rigged. If America was craving change, it is about to see how much Trump can deliver. He ran on a strongman vision, proposing to deport migrants by the millions, dismantle parts of the federal government, seek revenge against his political adversaries, and dismantle institutions that millions of people see as censorious and corrupt. He understands the cultural zeitgeists, says his 2016 campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, who remains a close advisor. "Donald Trump is a complicated person with simple ideas, and way too many politicians are the exact opposite." Trump also promises to attack the sources abroad that he blames for the country's malaise: economic interdependence, transnational criminals, traditional allies he sees as free riders on America's long-running global beneficence. He believes he has tools to fight back: punitive tariffs, bare-knuckle negotiations, threats to withdraw U.S. military, humanitarian, and economic support. Willing to upend the nation's post-war role as a bulwark against authoritarianism, he promises to usher in a foreign policy rooted in America First transactionalism. Much still stands in his way. The Republicans have narrow majorities in the House and Senate. A conservative Supreme Court may not bless all his boundary-pushing policies. Enduring institutional resistance inside the federal bureaucracy could thwart his designs. The public also remains a powerful check on any president. Trump has proved twice now he can surf to power on anti-incumbent sentiment, a cult of personality, divisive rhetoric, including the racist and xenophobic attacks. He has yet to prove he can enact the radical vision he campaigned on. Those closest to the president-elect say he will surprise people by fulfilling his promises. Most politicians do not, says Wiles, and he will. Whether Trump can actually fix the root causes of Americans' anger is another question. He will now have to contend with the same forces he rode to the White House: a globalized economy, mass migration, the rise of China, that have bedeviled predecessors from both parties and ousted incumbents around the world. He will also see just how far the nation is willing to let him go. If he succeeds, he could reshape the country. Along the way, he risks tearing down the constitutional norms and institutions that have seen America's great experiment in democracy through 2.5 centuries. Trump was in the private cabin of his plane, flying to an April 2 campaign rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan, when he picked up a document Wiles had placed atop a stack of papers. The heading was not subtle: how a national abortion ban will cost Trump the election. Trump raised his eyebrows. "Kind of a nasty title, huh?" he he said. The episode was a turning point for an issue central to the race, whether Trump could find a position on abortion that would limit his electoral losses with women after playing a pivotal role in the fall of Roe v. Wade. That, in turn, was part of Trump's larger challenge, how to offer change to everyone who wanted it, including voters put off by his positions or behavior. There are not enough MAGA people to actually win an election, a Trump campaign official told Time. So who do you go get? How do you broaden that? Before he considered the memo, Trump had been on the verge of supporting a 16-week federal abortion ban. Conway had showed him polling that indicated barring the procedure after 16 weeks of pregnancy was more popular than doing so after 24. But Trump's speechwriter and policy advisor Vince Haley raised an objection on a late March conference call, according to three people present. Does he know the 16-week ban will be stricter than existing law in a lot of states? There was silence. Probably not, says Trump's political advisor, James Blair, who set to assembling a slide deck that argued such a ban would hurt Trump in the key states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, all of which offered women the opportunity to obtain the procedure until at least 20 weeks of pregnancy. After flipping through Blair's presentation on the plane, Trump perked his head up. So we leave it to the states, right? Advisors agreed. Great, Trump said. We will do a video. And this article is being abridged because we have run out of time for today's episode of Time Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Patricia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Today's program is underwritten by G. Suggs Insurance. Please contact G. Suggs Insurance, your local independent agency, for trusted advice on home, auto, business, and life insurance. For more information, please visit gsuggsinsurance.com or call 919-875-8889. Time Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.